Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We begin six lines up from the top of the Amud, which begins the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of this parak, talking about the malacha of kosher, of tying a knot and untying it on Shabbos. So our Mishnah begins. Kosher deli bepiskia. A person is allowed to tie a pail with a girdle. That is on top of the pit where the water is. You tie the pail with a girdle, and the reason is because no one's going to leave a girdle there as something to tie on the pail there forever, and therefore it's not a kesher shel kayyum. As we explained, to be liable for the malach of a kesher has to be a knot that's there to stay. And therefore, since here you're not going to leave the girdle, it's an item that you want to use, that women use to tie around their waist to tie around, and it's knotted over there. So therefore, they're not going to leave it there, and that's why you're allowed to tie the pail. But you cannot tie the pail with a rope, and that is because the rope you're going to leave over there, and that's a kesher shel kayyum, that's a knot that's there for eternal to stay there. And that's because you leave it there because you need it to have it there to always be hanging there. That's why you cannot tie with a rope on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Mata, however, Rabbi Yehuda permits, which the Gemara is going to explain why we'd permit it if it's a kesher shel kayyum, which is usher to tie a pail with a rope that's there to stay forever. Then the Mishnah concludes, Kalal Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda says a general rule regarding the malacha of kosher. Kol kesher she'ina shel kayyum ma'ein chayiv lav. Any knot that is not an eternal knot that's there to stay, for that you're not liable. Again, as we said, that the kesher, the knot to be chayiv for Shabbos, which we learn off in the Mishkan, is dafka kesher that's there to stay, as we find by the Urias, when they had a hole that they had to fix it by knotting the threads that had become undone. That was because it was there to stay forever, not to be undone another time. Therefore, the kesher is only a kesher that's a kesher shel kayyum. So our Gemara begins and discusses regarding the machloikis in our Mishnah, discussing the chevel regarding tying the pail with a rope. Chevel demai. So the Gemara says, what type of rope is this? Ilei mechevel dama. If it's a regular rope, Rabbi Yehuda mat, Rabbi Yehuda permits tying the pail with a rope. What do we kesher shel kayyamahu? As he himself concludes in the Mishnah, it's an eternal knot, and that is a knot that you're going to leave the rope there to have it there to have the pail hanging. Now, why would it be mutter? So the Gemara says, el chevel de gardi. Rather, we're talking about a weaver's rope. And that's such a rope, that's where the machlekes is, because such a rope you need for the weavers to whatever purpose he needs it, and that you're not going to leave over there. And therefore, what's the machlekes? The Gemara says, lememba, so that means, it sounds like you're trying to say, Rabbanan sabri gezrina chevel de gardi oto chevel de amma. Now, why would Rabbanan say it's aser? Because we say, we decree that you're not allowed to tie the pail with a weaver's rope, because you might come to tie it with a regular rope, and that's why it's aser to do it even with a weaver's rope, which is something that you wouldn't leave like over there, and it should be just like the girdle. Rabbi Yehuda Sava Logazin, now what are you trying to say? But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we don't decree, and therefore a rope of a weaver that you're allowed to leave over there, you're allowed to tie it on Shabbos, just like you're allowed to tie the girdle, because you don't plan on leaving it over there. But Raminu asked the following contradiction. We learned, Chevel Delisha Nifsik, regarding the rope of a pail that ripped, it tore in the middle. The halach is lo yehi kosher. You're not allowed to tie it, not allowed to make a knot that's a kesher shel kayyum, because there it's to stay, keep the rope there forever, and you're tying it. So you can't make a knot, because again, that's a isra of kosher. Elohim, but rather, what you do is you make a bow, because that's not a knot. Rabbi Hudaimer, no, you can't make a knot. You can't even make a bow. Rather, karech alav punda oy pesakya, you wrap around the two ends of the rope that tore there in the middle, you wrap around it a punda, which is a hollow belt, or a pesikya, which is a girdle. As long as you do not go ahead and make a bow for the ends of the rope that tore, because Rabbi Yehuda, obviously, he decrees that you're not allowed to make a bow because you might come to make a knot, whereas the Rabbanan say that you know, they don't decree it, that you're allowed to make a bow, we're not concerned you might come to make a knot. And therefore, Kasha Rabbi Yehuda ad Yehuda, Kasha Rabbanan ad Rabbanan, we have the contradiction of opinions of both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. That is, do we say atu? Do we make exactly that if we allow you to use this, you might come to do that? That is, Rabbi Yehuda, we find that he says that you're not allowed to make a bow because you might come to make a knot. Yet in our Mishnah, we're explaining that you're allowed to use the weaver's rope, and we don't say you might come to use a regular rope. Whereas by the Rabbanan, we find the reverse. The Rabbanan, we find that they make a decree that you can't use the weaver's rope because you might come to use regular rope. Yet over here in the Brisa, we find that the Rabbanan say that we're not concerned that you're to make a bow that you might come to make a knot. Are we geyser atu or not? It's a contradiction in the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. So the Gemara answers. Rabbanan ad Rabban like Kasha, Rabbanan's opinion is not difficult, because there's a difference between concerns of the weaver's rope for regular rope, and yet from the case of the bow to making a knot. That is chevel b'chevel michlep. Ropes get mixed up. And that is, you can't necessarily differentiate exactly between them. They look the same. And therefore, if we allow you to use the weaver's rope to tie the pail to the pit, then you might come to do it with a regular rope also, which will be kesher deraisa, because that's the rope you're going to leave there, and that's a kesher shel kayyamah. Whereas a bow and a knot, that you don't get confused. Here you see, you're making it as a bow. We know that you have a lot to do on Shabbos. That doesn't mean we're going to go ahead and make a knot on Shabbos. And also the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is not difficult. Because Hasam Loimishim de Mechalfa Aniv Bekshira, there where he said that the making the bow on Shabbos is Aser, and there where you have to go ahead and wrap it around with this hollow belt or with a girdle regarding the rope that tore in the middle, that's not because we're concerned if we allow you to make a bow, you might come to make a rope. Rabbi Yehuda is not Gezer Atu. El Aniv Guv Bekshira, rather Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that making a bow is considered making a knot. You're holding things together, and therefore that's considered making a knot. And therefore, that resolves the contradiction and resolves the explanation of our Mishnah that yes, our Mishnah is talking about with the weaver's rope. And that is, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of a gzeira that if we allow you to use the weaver's rope, you might come to use regular rope. Whereas by Aniva, that he says that that's us, it's not because if we allow you to make a bow, you might come to make a knot. Rather, it's because a bow is making a knot, and that's why it's us. So the Gemara says, Amr Baba, Amr Mechir, Barashi, Amr Rav. Maybe Adam Chevel Metech Beis, a person is allowed to bring a rope from his house. And then he could tie it to the cow and to the trough, which is where the animal's eating from. That is, one end goes on the cow, the other one goes in where he's eating. And we're not concerned that you might come to untie only one of the two. And maybe you're going to untie the part that connects to the cow, but you're going to leave the knot that's tied to the trough to where the animal's eating from. That it should always be prepared there to just go ahead and tie it onto the animal. Or that maybe you're going to untie the one that's connected to where he's eating from, but you'll leave the one that's on the cow ready so that you could click him on to where he's eating at any point in time. And therefore, it's going to come out that you would think that one of them should be shel kayama, that it'll be an eternal knot you're going to leave. But that's what he come to tell you, the chiddush, that in the name of Rav, that no, that you could go ahead and do connect both in Shabbos, because both of them you're ultimately going to disconnect, and neither one is considered kesher shel kayama. To which the Gemara asks, Rav Acha the long one asked, "Who Rav Acha bar Papa? Who's Rav Acha the long one? He's Rav Acha the son of Papa." He asked Rav Abba the following question: we learned the Braisa, Chevel Shabbeavis, regarding the rope of the trough of where the eating receptacle is for the animal. We say that that rope that's attached to that kosher bepar, you could knot that onto the cow. And similarly, with Shabbat, the knot, the rope that's attached to the cow, kosher bevis, you could knot it onto the eating receptacle. But as long as you don't go ahead and initially in Shabbos take a rope from your house and tie it onto both the cow and to the trough, you could do either one. If it's already attached to the cow, then you can do it to the Avis. If it's on the Avis, then you can do it to the cow. But you can't go ahead and do it on both on Shabbos. So that clearly contradicts what Rav is saying, that you could do both on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a stira. Hasim over there in the Brace where we say that it's asim to tie it onto both the animal and the eating receptacle on Shabbos. That's chevel de'alma. That's by a regular string, a regular rope. Where there you're going to leave it, and since you're going to leave it, at least one of them. So therefore, it's going to be aser on Shabbos because that's the kesher shel kayama. Hach over here, where we said that it's mutter. That's chevel de'gardi. Rav is talking about a weaver's rope. And therefore, that's just like the pshat we said in that Mishnah, that a weaver's rope is something you're not going to leave. And therefore, you're allowed to do both on Shabbos because you're not going to leave it neither on the cow or on the avos, on the trough, because it's something that you're going to head and take it away. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol, klei kivoy, regarding the weaver's utensils. And the reason why we bring in this halacha is because once we spoke about the weaver's rope, so we talk about all the other vessels of the weaver. So regarding the vessels of the weaver, mutl talt m'shabbos, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos to the two poles, the reeds that there are by the weaving utensils, and you could use it for other purposes. And the chiddush we're coming to tell you is that the weaver is not mak, but he doesn't care so much about using it for other purposes, and therefore it's not considered klisha malach de l'issa, that a vessel that's used only for things that are forbidden, for example weaving, which is something forbidden to use, like a screwdriver, if it would be used only for screws, so then it would be something usher to mukta to do on Shabbos. However, if you use it to crack open nuts, therefore that's not usher, that's not mukta, it's not just used for something that's usher, which is like screwing in a nail, which would be Isra of Boino or Makab Patish or whatever it is on Shabbos. So therefore, these weaver's utensils, since he's not Makbid and they don't care if you use it for other purposes, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, it's not Mukta. So on this theme, Boyimineh Rabbi Yehuda, they asked the following question from Rabbi Yehuda. What's with Kovid Elyon Mekovid HaTachtim Mahu? What's with the upper weights and the lower weights? These are the beams that were used to support the weavers and the other utensils that are there. What is the halacha? What would we say over there? Do we say that since they're very heavy, so then generally we wouldn't use it for other purposes, and therefore it is considered a davar shemalach de l'issa? It's used only for weaving purposes because you wouldn't use it for other things that are too heavy to use. Or do you say that, no, it's since they're not makbid, they don't care, so therefore you could use for other things, and therefore it's not going to be muktzah. So in v'lava rafi b'yadeh, that Rabbi Huda said yes, he said no, and was very loose in his hands. In other words, he wasn't clear to say if it's forbidden or if it's permitted. On this, the Gemara says, itma, but it was learned, omer of nachma omer Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel, they said, the kli kivoi mutl tatl m'shabbos, that the weaver's utensils, as we said before, you're allowed to move on Shabbos, is not muktzah, because he doesn't care. And afilu kevet elim kevet tachton, and that would apply even to the question that we mentioned before, to the upper beam and the lower beam, that even that you're allowed to move, even though it's very heavy, and generally people don't use it for other things, but since he's not makbid, it's not muktzah. Avoloyes amudim, but not the pillars, not the posts, that these are the ones that have holes that the women weave with, those things are muktzah on Shabbos. To which the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav of Nachman, Maishna Mudim Deloy, why is it that these beams, these posts, they're forbidden, they're muktzah on Shabbos? Ilei Medekavet Gumes, if you're going to say it's because they make holes, that is when you take out these posts, these beams from the ground, and you take it out, it has a hole that in the ground that it's stuck into, so you're moving the earth, and you're making a hole, which is where the amid, where the posts stand, and that's also to do on Shabbos. But gumas memelo kahavin. But the holes are there by themselves. They're automatically there. And therefore, since you're not doing it directly, you're not creating the hole. Therefore, that's not a problem to do on Shabbos. As we learned, now we learn the Mishnah Klayim. Hatoimin lefes utznoin is tachas agafin. If someone buries turnips and radishes under a vine, so then im miktas olav megulim. Then if some of the leaves are revealed, are uncovered, and the reason why we said this aspect is regarding the last halacha, that it would be permitted to take it on Shabbos, because if it was totally covered and none of it was uncovered, you would have nothing to pull at it because you're not allowed to touch the earth on Shabbos. So therefore, regarding this, that you had buried the turnip and radish, there's nothing to be concerned about. That is because since it didn't take root yet, so there's no concern of loy mishum klaim, because they didn't mix yet. But loy mishum shvis, no problem of shmita. Again, it's not something that grew from the ground, and therefore it has no halachic iser of shmita on it. But loy mishum meiser, and there is also no problem of meiser. That is to say that as if this planting of it, of hiding the turnip in the ground, negated its original status. And now when you take it out, you're going to have to go ahead and take meiser from it again, as is the halacha when you replant meiser. That is, it has now a new status of whatever the produce is, that you would have to take new meiser from it as if it grew. However, here, since it didn't take root yet, it doesn't have to be retithed yet. V'nitalim b'Shabbos, and you could also take it on Shabbos, as we mentioned before, because since there's somewhere to pull it out, and it's not considered connected yet, it didn't take root, so there's no problem. So therefore we see that in spite of the fact that you're making a hole when you're taking it out, that cavity that was there, that's not a problem, because it happens on its own, and that's why we said you're allowed to take it on Shabbos. So therefore, why would the amudim, why would these beams, these posts be a problem that you're saying that is an exception to the weaver's utensils, that you wouldn't be able to take it on Shabbos? Why? Why is it different? If it's making a hole, we find that making the hole is not a problem because it's there already, and therefore you're allowed to take it even on Shabbos, as we find by the radish and the turnips. So the Gemara says, you're right. However, there is a difference between these two cases. Besada loy osila shvu gumis. Regarding a field where you have where you bury the turnip and the radish, no, you're not going to come to smooth it out. You're not concerned about a field that has holes. And therefore, you're allowed to take out the turnip and the radish on Shabbos, because again, there's no problem of making the hole. And the fact that there's a hole, you're not going to come to smooth it out. Hacha bebayis, but here regarding the beams of the weaving utensils, where that's obviously in a person's house, you don't leave it out in the field. Aslash wigumis, when you're going to take it out, then you're going to have a hole in your floor. You might come to smooth out the hole, which is a problem of bina of building, because that's smoothing out the ground and that's part of the structure. Because of that, that's why you're not allowed to go ahead and take it out. Not because it's muktzah, but because if you're taking out this beam of that holds up the weaving utensils, then you're going to have the hole, and we're concerned that then you're going to have a hole, you might come to fill it up, and then you'll be over the Issa Malacha, the Raisa of Baina. That's why we say that is the exception, and I'll take that out on Shabbos. So related to what we said, the Gemara concludes, Klei Kivoi, regarding the weaver's utensils, Kagan Kovet Elinim Kovet Atachten, regarding the upper weights and the lower weights, these are beams that are on the top and the bottom, Mal Ataltim Shabbos. What is the Halacha's status of moving them on Shabbos? Amalei ein metal. He argues on the other mandam. He says, you're not allowed to move it. Matam, what's the reason? Lefisha ein metal, because they're not taken. That is, even during the weekday, because they're so heavy, therefore the malacha is designated only for the weaving purposes, which is something that's a malach tishalis, it's a malacha that's used only for something forbidden. A klich, a malach lis, a utensil that's used only for a forbidden purpose. It's never used for anything else, because in this case it's too heavy. So in spite of the fact that the weaver is not makbid, he doesn't care if he used it for something else. But since it's never used for something else, it's designated just for forbidden activity, that makes the utensil into a dvar mukta, and therefore he argues and says that even the upper and the lower weights cannot be moved, and they are mukta on Shabbos. Now Mishnah continues with a new halacha. Mekaplin es hakelim. We're allowed to fold garments, vessels, and that is by garments, when you stretch it out, then you fold it because when you wash it, it gets very soft and they crease if you don't fold it. So you're allowed to fold the garments on Shabbos. Afil arba v'chamisha pam, even 4 or 5 times, that is, it, to go ahead and re-put it on. Let's say you came in the morning, you got dressed, then you took it off, and you get back dressed. So every time you take it off, you're allowed to fold it, and for the next time that you're going to put it on. Similarly, umatzina samitas b'meleli Shabbos l'Shabbos, you're allowed to fold the beds from Friday night to Shabbos day, avoloi mishabbos l'matzah Shabbos, but not by Shabbos day for matzah Shabbos, because that is the problem of achana, preparing, you know, make the beds for the purposes of that, it should be prepared and ready to sleep on Matzah Shabbos, because that's preparing from Shabbos to Matzah Shabbos, which is awesome. Rabbi Shmuel says, "Mekaplin es hakelim, you're allowed to fold the garments, umatzin es hamitzos, and to fold the beds, miyom kippurim l'Shabbos, even from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. For example, if let's say Yom Kippur comes out on a Friday, and similarly, v'chel v'Shabbos kreivim Yom Kippurim, you're allowed to sacrifice the fats of a carbon that was brought on Shabbos and bring them on Yom Kippur. For example, if Yom Kippur falls out on Matzah Shabbos. However, you cannot bring the karbonis, the fats of Yom Kippur, and sacrifice them on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a higher status than Yom Kippur. Kiva argues, he says, Loisha Shabbos kreivim Yom Kippurim, the sacrifices, the fats of a carbon Shabbos cannot be brought in Yom Kippur. V'loisha Yom Kippurim kreivim Shabbos, and the fats of a Yom Kippur carbon cannot be brought, which a lot of times the fats are brought on the throughout the evening of it's, if it's brought during the day and the blood is thrown during the evening, is when the chalav and mevarim are brought on the mizbeach. If matzah Yom Kippur is a Shabbos, you're not allowed to bring the fats of Yom Kippur on Shabbos. And again, Shabbos, if Yom Kippur falls on matzah Shabbos, it can't be brought in Yom Kippur either. So the Gemara qualifies the statement that we said, the first halacha in the Mishnah, that you're allowed to fold the garments on Shabbos. Amar de Rabbi Yannai, lo yishanu, we didn't learn this heter of folding garments on Shabbos, ela ba'adam echad, only one person alone doing it. Al b'shnei b'nei adam, but if there's two people that are folding it, so then they stretch it out really, really well, and that really stretches out all the wrinkles that are there. And that looks like misakin. It looks like you're fixing something, which there's an isra of tikkun mana, of fixing a garment or a vessel on Shabbos. So therefore, al b'shnei b'nei adam, but if it's two people doing it loy, then that's asur. It's only one person that could fold an item. Moreover, uba'adam echad nami loy amar in el b'chadashim. This that we said that one person is allowed to fold his garments is only talking about new garments. But if it's an old garment, then not. Because by an old garment, the folding it is misakin, it fixes it, it does it, makes it more of an improvement than by new garments. Because new garments are hard, they're still strong, the fabric, and therefore it doesn't crease so easily. And therefore, you're allowed to fold it because it doesn't really look like you're improving it that much. But by old garments, which crease very easily, folding it is a great improvement. That would be a problem of tikkun. And then another qualification. That even new garments that we say that one person could do is only talking about white garments. But if it's a colored garment, then not, because again, folding by colored garments is a great improvement. And finally, we didn't say this heter, this permission, this permit of folding a garment at Shabbos, only if you have nothing else to switch with, you have no other garments, and therefore it's not proper to be walking out with this creased garment on Shabbos. So therefore we allow you to fold it. But if you have another garment to switch with, then we did not even give you this whole permit of folding, even with one person with a new white garment. So therefore, again, we have 4 conditions for the permit of folding a garment on Shabbos. It has to be dafka one person, has to be a new garment, has to be white, and has to be talking about that he has no other garment to switch with. Then we gave the permission, this permit of folding a garment on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, related to this, that Tana, we learned, Shal Beis Rebbe Gamliel, Lo Hamakaplin Klei Lavin Shalem, that they didn't fold even their white garments, which is a chiddush, because definitely the colored garments, which would be aser. And the reason is because of the 4th condition, because they had other garments to switch with. So although it really had all the components, that it was new, and it was white, and it was one person, but since they had other garments to switch with. Therefore, they never folded even their white garments on Shabbos. So another related halacha, Amar Rav Huna, im yesh lo lahachlif yachlif. If he has garments to change into, then he should change. That is, if someone has other garments besides the ones that he wore during the weekday, so when it comes time for Shabbos, you should put on new garments. Don't wear the same thing you wore during the weekday. Vim ein lo lahachlif, but if you have nothing to change, you only got one pair of clothing, then you shalshul begadiv, you should let your clothing down. That is, they should look long. And that is the way that wealthy people that sit in their house and they don't have to roll up their sleeves, so to speak, or pick up their clothing from the ground, that it shouldn't get dirty from the work they're doing. So therefore on Shabbos, you should look like an oisher, like a wealthy person, like royalty, and that's covered of Shabbos, that if you definitely should change your clothing, but you don't have any other clothing to change into. Well, let's say you're stuck without your luggage in some hotel, so then you let it down, and you shouldn't have it rolled up the way normally people have it when they're working. That's a sign of covered Shabbos. To which the Gemara asks, Masiv lo Rav Safra. Rav Safra asked on this, but it looks like a sign of gaiva. How can we allow you to let your garments down? It looks like, you know, some an uppity type of thing to do, but that's gaiva. We don't want to people continue in these type of ways. So the Gemara says, no. Since every day he doesn't do this, he has it rolled up and he has the thing, he's doing work, he's not a wealthy person that sits in this house. It's only today on Shabbos that he's doing it. Doesn't look like gaiva, similar as the Gemara Bracha says regarding cutting a big piece of challah that you're supposed to have, that it should be last for the whole meal. It's a sign of covered Shabbos. The Gemara says, what do you mean? That looks like you're Rav Sanasa, like you're someone that just wolfs down food. He says, no, since all week you don't do it, only a Shabbos. Obviously, it's for covered Shabbos and not for his own ego, for his own covet. So the Gemara continues on this theme about doing things for covered Shabbos and specifically regarding getting dressed properly for Shabbos. Gemara brings a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, "V'chibadatoy ma'asis terechecha." You should honor the Shabbos from not doing things the way you normally do on your regular ways that you do during the weekday. So the Gemara first darshan v'chibadatoy, when it says that you should honor Shabbos, what does that mean? Shalei yehi mabushcha shel Shabbos kemabushcha shel chol. It means that your garments of Shabbos should not be like your garments of the weekday. How do we see from the word of that you should honor it from covered? That means a reference to the garments. V'chihad Rabbi Yochanan, as we find Rabbi Yochanan, dekori lemani mechabdusi, he would call his garments the things that honor me. And that is because a person's garment honors him when he wears a nice tie, a nice jacket, a nice blouse, or whatever it is that the person is wearing, whether male or female, it makes them honorable. So too, that's why it says, when it says to honor Shabbos, it means you should honor it with the types of clothing that you're wearing. As the Gemara says, that this is what Rabbi Yochanan used to call his garments, the things that honor him. So when the Pasuk says, ma'asis terechecha, from doing things the way your path of the weekday normally is, that you shouldn't do that, that is a reference. That means that the way you go during the week, during Shabbos, should not be the way you go normally as you do during the weekday. Which the Gemara later is going to explain. What does that mean? What does it mean? How do I go during the weekday? That's different. I should do on Shabbos. So then the Gemara continues. The pasuk says over there, that you should from seeking your desires. And that is, as the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Lamed Ches, Amud Beis says, that a person shouldn't go ahead and take a stroll at the end of his field on Shabbos to see what is the need that I have to fix on Shabbos. You shouldn't be involved in seeking your desires. But the inference is that only Cheftzecha, your desires, Cheftzecha Asurin, that your desires are usher to be involved with on Shabbos. But the desires of Shabbos, of heaven, are things that are permitted on Shabbos. For example, pledging money to charity or being involved in Shidduchim for girls to be able to get married. Those things, although you're being involved in them, you're seeking these chafetzim, they're mutter because they're chafetzim shemaim, they're not your own chafetzim. So the pasuk there continues, v'daber davar, and speaking words. These are the things, again, that a person should refrain from on Shabbos the way normally he would do during the weekday. To which the Gemara on Amud Beis explains, what does that mean? That means that your speech on Shabbos should not be the way you speak during the weekday. As Rashi explains, it means regarding business deals, you shouldn't be speaking about mekh memcha and cheshbon, you shouldn't make calculations, how much I made this week, how much I lost, that you shouldn't be involved with. Which Tosis has a difficulty with that, because as Rabbeinu Tam says, that we already learn now from Mimtzei Chavtzecha, that that's seeking your desires, business, calculations. So this is obviously not what the Gemara means. Rather, Rabbeinu Tam says, it's as it says in the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, that it means that you shouldn't talk that much on Shabbos as you would during the weekday. As the Yerushalmi says, that even with it was difficult for them to even permit asking by someone how he's doing on Shabbos, because don't talk. Shabbos is Shavas, by Inofash. Shabbos is a time of stop, rest. And that is the soul of a person. See what you're doing during the weekday. Be with yourself. Don't be talking to people. Don't be distracted. That's why Shabbos, so that is that your speech on Shabbos shouldn't be like the weekday. You shouldn't speak very little. And that is because so you could focus on the purpose of Shabbos, which is to be with oneself. And that's what it means, according to Rabbi Natan, that b'dabir, you shouldn't speak that much on Shabbos as you would during the weekday. Another inference from that pasuk is b'dabir dover, that is your speech should be different. That is dibur asur hiru mutar. It's your speech that's forbidden to be just like during the weekday. But your thoughts are permitted. That is, you could think in your mind how much expenses do I need that I have to make put out on this field. That is permitted. It's just that you're not allowed to actually verbalize it. That your speech is awesome. Now the Gemara asks on these drashas. Bishle mekulu l'chayai. I understand all these drashas that you explain that the Shabbos is different. Shabbos should be, you should speak different, you should dress different. I understand that. Elo, shalo yehi heiluchach shal Shabbos keiluchach shalcha. But regarding that you're saying that there's a difference, that the way you walk on Shabbos should be different than the way you go during the weekday. Mahi, what does that mean? How should I go differently on Shabbos that I go during the weekday? So the Gemara says, ki hod amr avhuna merav. And some say Omer Abba Omer Avuna, Hoymahalach b'Shabbes upog ba'amas amayim. If you were walking on Shabbos and you came to a stream of water, im yochel anich esragli rishonim. If you could leave your first foot, that is the foot that you picked up to put onto the other side, koydim shetiyaker shniya, before the second foot has to be picked up. That is, it's not so wide from a stride that you're taking, that is, you can get the first foot can land before you have to pick up the second foot walking across that stream, then it's permitted to even jump across, because that's an area that's not so much of a distance that would require you to jump. That you could have one foot down, the other foot down. That's a sign of royalty, of bakavadig, of walking. But if not, if it's something that's so far apart that you would have to jump to get across, that would be forbidden, that you're not allowed to jump. And that's what it means, hiluchach, that you're going on Shabbos should be different, that if it's something that you can't get one foot across before the other one has to get up, that's forbidden to jump over on Shabbos. To which the Gemara asks, Masik l'Rava, Sahechi Levit, so what should I do? Now on Shabbos, I come to this stream, I can't get my foot across before getting the other one across. I would have to jump. So Lekiv, so what should I do? So I should go around now to the place where the stream ends? But Kamafesh b'Hiluchach, you make me walk much more. That's not definitely covered Shabbos, having to walk, which is strenuous. And Liavi, if you tell me that I should walk through the stream, that to walk through it with my feet, Zimna de Mesasva Mani Maya, that sometimes the garments are going to get all soiled, they're going to get all soaked with water. Vasudeschitin, it's going to come to a situation of possibly squeezing out the garments because it's so drenched. That's a problem. We don't want to put a person in a position where he might have to squeeze out his garments and be even the Issa de Reis of Schita. So what should I do? Ella, rather, he argues on the opinion that was said before. Rather, Rava says, Baha, kibindulay evshah shabadami. Since it's not possible, you're not going to make the person go all the way around, and you can't make him walk through it, so definitely you could jump over such an area, and that's not a problem of hiluchach b'shabbos. Rather, Ella, what's the pshat in hiluchach b'shabbos? Kedibayim ne rebi mereb shmol b'reb yisi. That his question he asked him was, Mao lev soy psiya gasa b'shabbos. He asked him, what is the halacha regarding taking a large stride, a large step on Shabbos? And that is that a being over on a seister echecha of refraining of the way you normally go on your derech, on your path? And that is, a large step is more larger than an amma, and a regular psia bainis is an amma. So he asked him, what's on Shabbos? Can you go take a step larger than an amma? So Malaysia said to him, b'chibichol mihutra, what do you mean? Do you think on the weekday you're allowed to take a large stride? Shani yom, because I say, psia gasu netelis echad mechamesh meyes mimo'einav shal adam. Taking a large stride takes away 1/500th of the light of a person's eyes. Because it's gaiva, and a gaiva takes away a person's clarity of mind, and therefore that's also even during the weekday. And if you did take a large stride, then you could return that part of your eyesight with the kiddush of Friday night by drinking the wine of the Friday night kiddush, that will restore it. And therefore, yes, you're not allowed to take such a large step on Shabbos. But I'm telling you, even during the weekday, you're not supposed to, because that removes part of the eyesight of a person, which is necessary. And that is what it means, from refraining from your derech, from your path, that your heiluchach b'Shabbos should be different than heiluchach b'chol. It means that you're not allowed to take a step larger than an amma. That's not bakavadik for Shabbos. That is not the way you should be walking on Shabbos. A similar type of a discussion that we just brought, the Gemara brings Baymanei Rebbe Mir Shmuel Rebbe Yesi. The same Amiram, they asked the following question. Maho lechel adam b'Shabbos. What's the halacha with eating earth on Shabbos. That is, do we make the gezeira, the decree of grinding herbs, which is the reason why other refuahs, other healing, other medicine is asr on Shabbos, because you might come to grind the herbs, which is isra of teichin. Therefore, we said you're not to take even prepared medicine on Shabbos. Do we say the same would apply to earth that would be grinded on Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to consume earth or not? So he responded to him, now, are you allowed to consume earth even during the weekday? A similar refrain that he told him regarding taking a large stride, a large step on Shabbos. He says, Shani Oimer, because I say even during the weekday, you're not allowed to consume earth. And the reason is because it's hurtful to the person, it makes him sick. So therefore, yes, you're not allowed to take it on Shabbos, but even during the weekday, you're not allowed to because it's hurtful. So on this topic about the hurtful properties of consuming earth, the Gemara says, Omer Ami. Whoever eats from the earth of Babel, of Babylon, as if he ate the flesh of his forefathers, who died there in Gullus, because a lot of Klal Yisrael were there in Babel. The Yeshem, and some say if he eat the earth of Babel, as if he ate vermin and crawly, creepy bugs. And the reason is, because it says regarding the Mabel that came in the times of Noach, that Hashem wiped out everything that existed over there, and everything came down to Babel, and because it was from the low-lying places, and therefore everything came over there, including all the Shkatzim and Ramasim, and therefore if you're going to eat the earth over there, you're going to be eating the Shkatzim and Ramasim. As the Gemara brings, Amar Shlakish, Lama Nikur Shma Shinner. Why is Babel called Shinner? She called Mesi Mabel Ninner Ulisham, because all the dead of the Mabel, they were brought down, they rolled down over there to Babel. And that's the same idea why you're not allowed to consume the earth over there, because it's eating the Shkatz Mir Masim, they all died over there. Amar Biyechidon, Lama Nikur Shma Mitzula. Why is Babel called the deep? Because all the dead of the Mabel, they sank down over there. Again, a similar type of idea, which is that everything rolled down to Babel. And therefore, we said that you're not allowed to eat it because it would be considered as if you're eating all the Shkatz and Ramasim. And similarly, we said, so now the Gemara quotes, V'yeshem, some said, as if you ate Shkatz and Ramasim, because again, everything rolled down over there. But the Gemara asks, well, vade ismachu ismachu, definitely that these vermin that they dissolved and they didn't become part of the earth. So therefore, what's the problem about eating the earth? They're not eating the Shkatz and Ramasim, they're not part of the earth. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amri, but they said, kivin amalki, since consuming earth is hurtful, as we mentioned before, gazer be'rabban, and therefore the Rabban made a decree, they said that it's usher because of consuming Shkatz and Ramasim, and that no one's going to want to eat. But the truth is, they're really not consuming Shkatz and Ramasim because they dissolved already. The reason is because of that it's hurtful, but people won't listen. Oh, for health purposes, oh, seatbelts or smoking, that I'm not concerned about. However, if we're going to say, but that's eating Shkatz and Ramasim, oh, Shkatz and Ramasim, I'm not going to do, that's why they said it's also because of that, even though really the real truth was because of health purposes, and that's why they made the gzer. As the Gemara brings, da'ahu gavra da'ochel gargishta, because there was this person that ate clay. And he ate cress, and then the cress sprouted in his heart and he died. And what happened was is that the cress took root in the earth and that grew in his stomach and it reached all the way up to his heart, and therefore he died. As we see, it's unhealthy to consume earth, and that's why they made this gezeira and they called it because of Shkatz and Ramasim, but the real reason was because it's unhealthy to consume earth. And now continuing with the theme of Kavod of Shabbos, the Gemara brings a pasuk of Nami talking to Rus regarding her intimate encounter with Boaz. So she told her, "Verchatz, you should wash yourself, v'sacht, and you should anoint yourself, v'samtzim leisaych, and you should put on your clothing." And the difficulty with this pasuk is that, what I mean, was Rus naked to say that she should put on her clothing? Rather, the drush is the Gemara is going to say that she should put on certain unique clothing, designated clothing that she has. As the Gemara says, Amr Belaz, and the Gemara is going to bring many drushes to the end of the Gemara in the name of Rabbi Lazam, Eilu Begadim Shel Shabbos. These are the garments of Shabbos. So what does it mean that you should put on your clothing? It means your special clothing, your Shabbos clothing, as people generally call, for a chasno or for something important, I'm going to put on my Shabbos clothing. That's the idea that she told her, you should put on your clothing, not that she was naked, it meant that she should put on her Shabbos clothing for her encounter with Boaz. So in related to this incident, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Mishlei, which says, "Ten lo chacham v'yechkem oid, give to a wise person, and he'll get even wiser." So Amr Belaza, again, another drasha from Amr Belaza, "Zu Rus hamavia v'shmul harmasi." Who is this pasuk a reference to? It's a reference to Rus, the Moabite woman, and to Shmuel harmasi. That is a reference to Shmuel hanavi. As the Gemara says, by Rus we find The ilu nami ka'amrla, that although Nami had told her something wise, which was v'rechatz, v'sach, v'samta, simleisayich alayich, v'irad ha'gern, that you should bathe yourself, you should anoint yourself, you should put on your clothing, and then you should go down to the threshing house and there having your encounter with Boyaz over there. So she told her something smart, but then v'yechkam oit, she was even smarter. But by Rus it says what she actually did was, it says, first it says v'teret ha'gern, that she went down to the threshing house, and then it says that she did everything that her mother-in-law had told her. That is, over there she anointed herself and put on her special beautiful clothing. And that is why she was so smart, was because that she shouldn't meet people on the way to the garden, to the threshing house, when she's all adorned and dressed up and people are going to think she's a prostitute. So not to have that chashash, she first went there and then got dressed up over there. That's that, tell something, a wise person something, they're going to make it even wiser, they're going to figure out a better way how to do it. Similarly, we find by Shmuel that the Shechina was calling him from the Heichel of the Beis HaMikdash. But he didn't know who was calling him. He never had a prophecy before. And he went to Eli, and Eli didn't know what he's talking about. Then it says, Vayivan Eli ka Hashem karlana. Then it says that Eli understood that it's obviously Hashem that's calling the child that's talking to Shmuel. And then it says, Vayomer lo yishachiv. So he said, go down to sleep. And then if that voice is going to call you again, and you should say, Hashem speak, because your servant is hearing you. As the Gemara says, the Amar, the Ilu Eli come alay, because whereas we find the Eli told Shmuel, Shachav lay down, that if this voice calls you again, and you should say, Dabar Hashem speak, because your servant is hearing, meaning that he was trying to tell him that it's the Shechina talking to you and you should respond. You should talk to the Shechina, that it should tell you the message that it's trying to tell you. But whereas by Shmuel we find that he did something smarter. It says, Vayoveh Hashem came to Shmuel, Vayisyatziv, Vayikra kefam befam, that it sat there, the Shechina, and it spoke to him like it did in the previous times. Shmuel, Shmuel, it called out his name. Vayomer Shmuel, Daber kishemei avdecha, and Shmuel said, talk, because your servant is listening. Vayomer Daber Hashem. And he didn't say, Hashem, you should speak. He didn't want to mention Hashem's name, because maybe it wasn't the Shechina. That was pretty smart, because yes, there was a great possibility that he was having a prophecy and Hashem was speaking, but it wasn't obvious. Therefore, he left out Hashem's name, and that was smarter. So therefore, we find by Rus and by Shmuel that Ten Lechachem Ve'echem Oid, give something to a smart person and they'll make it even better. They'll be even smarter in the way they implement. So continuing with Rus, we find that the Pasuk says, V'telech, that she went, V'tove, and she came, V'telaket Basada, and she gathered in the field. So the problem is that if she went, what does it mean that she came? It sounds like that she came back and then she gathered. How could she gather if she came back already to Nami, to her mother-in-law? Therefore, Rabbi Loza says, Shaholchuvas, she went and she came. Holchuvas, she went and she came. That is, she didn't go straight there. Until she found people that were from the harvesters, from the poor that was taking from the field, that were proper to go with, only then did she find people and go with them. Therefore, it says that she went and she came because she didn't go directly to go ahead and gather the reapings of the field, because she had to wait until she found proper people to hang around with. She didn't want to go with improper people. So it says over there in Rus, Vayomer Boyaz Lanarei Hanitzav Lakoitzim, that Boyaz told to his youth, the one that was in charge, that was sitting there by the people that were reaping in the field, he says, Lemi Hanarazes, to who does this girl belong? As people say in Yiddish, Vemens Biste, you know, who was this girl? So the Gemara has a difficulty with this. Chidarkishal Boyaz Lishal Benara, was it the custom of Boyaz to ask about a girl? What do you mean? Every girl that he saw, he says, who is this girl? Who's this girl? That means obviously he's looking at the girls. That's not definitely what a girl out there like Boyaz was doing. So what's pshat that he asked, who is this girl? So Amr Balazam, again, Rabbi Lazar says, Dvar Chochma Rabba, that he saw an element of wisdom in this girl. And that's why he asked, who is she? Because Shnei Shibalim Lokta, Shleish Shibalim Enin Lokta, that 2 ears of grain that fell, that were there, she would gather. But 3, she wouldn't gather. That is, when she saw 2 that fell from those who were reaping, then she would take it. But 3 that would gather together, she wouldn't take it. And that's a Mishnah in Peya that says that 2 ears of grain you're allowed to take as leket. And however, 3 you're not allowed to take. Therefore, he saw that this is a Tamidus Chachamas. She's someone that knows the halachas. And that's why he asked, who is this girl? Which you don't find commonly in the girls coming together from the floor. But Mesnitan, in the Brice, we learned, Dvar Tznias Rabba, that what he saw an element of modesty in her. And that is, Oimdais Mu'umid, the grains, the ears of grain that were standing, that Boaz forgot, then she would gather it standing. And that is because a kama, which is a standing crop, is also considered for that shikra, that if you went and you were cutting and you forgot two that were still standing, that is included. It's not just those that fell down as you reaped them, but even if they're standing, but you kept on moving and you left behind just two, that's considered shikra. And those that were standing, she took standing. But the ones that fell down, those that when the ones who were reaping fell down, those she would gather sitting, and she wouldn't bend down, bend over to take them because of modesty. He saw that this must be something special of a girl because she didn't bend down like all the other girls, which was not so modest. Rather, she would sit down and take that from the floor. That's why he asked, who is this girl? So it says over there also in Rus, the chaysid bakinim naraisid, that Boaz told Rus, and therefore you should attach yourself with my maidens, with the girls that are part of my household. So the Gemara asks, was it the custom of Boaz to attach himself with women, which is an intimate term of devik, of attaching oneself? Why is he using such an intimate term when he's talking to a girl? Why would he say that? That he's saying you should attach yourself with my maidens? So Amr Belaza, Kivin the Chaza, since he saw, as the Pasuk says regarding Rus, it says, Fatishak Arpa Lechamaisa. There were two daughter-in-laws for Nami. It was Arpa and Rus. It says that Arpa kissed her mother-in-law and went away. And she went to where she came from. But Rus attached herself to her mother-in-law. Oh, Amar, so Boaz said, Shari li devukiba. It's permissible to attach myself to this girl that says by her that she attached herself to her mother-in-law. She left everything that she had and came with Nami to the Jewish people. That's why he used the terminology of sidbakin, of attaching herself. That means that this is someone that was davak. I can be davak with her. So it says over there in the Pasuk, V'yemel Boaz la'esaycha, that Boaz told Rus at the time of the eating, Geshihalim, come over here. So Amr Belaza, again Rebbe Laza, Ramaz Ramazla. He was alluding something to her that was a Ruach HaKodesh, a divine spirit, what rested on him at that moment. And what he was alluding to her was, Asida Malchus Beis Dovul Lotzis Nimcha, that it ultimately will be that the kingdom of the house of David, of David HaMelech, will come out from you. That was where royalty will come from. Because by David it says the same term of haloim, of here, of hither. Shanem, like it says in the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, the Yaveh HaMelech David v'Yishol b'nei Hashem, that David HaMelech came and he sat in front of Hashem. The Yaveh mi anoichi adoyin Hashem, he says, who am I, my master Hashem? Umi beisi kavayoseni ad haloim. And what is my house that you have brought it up until here, that you have given me the privilege of having the Beis HaMikdash? So you see, the term haloim, which is a reference to the royalty of David, that's what he was telling her, kishi haloim, that come over here, that reference that haloim is going to come from you, that you're going to have the royalty of David HaMelech. So it says over there in the Pasuk, it says in that Pasuk that we just mentioned, that Vayomer la Boaz la'es ha'eicha, that Boaz told her at the time of the eating, Goyshi haloim, come over here, v'chalt min alecha, the Pasuk says, and you should eat from the bread, v'tavalt pitech b'chemetz, and you should dip your bread into vinegar. So Amar Belazar, Belazar says, Mikan sha'chemetz yafal l'sharv, from here, from this Pasuk, you see that vinegar is good for the heat. And that is, since it was the heat, that's the time of the season when you're gathering the reapings. It's different from the fact that he told her to dip her bread into vinegar. You see that it's helpful for the heat. But however, Reb Shmuel ben Nachmeni Amar, he says, Remez Ramazla. He was alluding something to her by saying this reference of dipping your bread into vinegar. That Asid ben Lotzis Mimcha, Shemaisev Koshen Kachemitz. You're ultimately going to have a child that his actions are as harsh as vinegar. Umanu Menashe, that's Menashe that comes out of Rus, that he was a big Rasha. That's the reference of vinegar, that although you're going to have David HaMelech, you're also going to have Menashe, that's a Rasha. So it says over there in the Pasuk, Vatishiv Mitzad HaKoitzim, that she sat beside the reapers. So Amar Belazar, Belazar says, Mitzad HaKoitzim V'loi B'toich HaKoitzim. It's Bedavka that the Pasuk is saying that she sat beside the reapers and not amongst the reapers. And that is, all the reapers were between Boaz and her, and he didn't put her amongst them or next to him. And that was also a Ruach HaKodesh that was there. And as the Gemara says, Remez Ramazla, he was alluding something to her, Shasida Malchus Beis David Shetischalik, that the kingdom, the royalty of Beis David, will ultimately be separated in the times of Rechavim and Yeravim. And that is alluding to her, that the Malchus Beis David that's going to come out from the two of us will be split. Because had she sat amongst them or near him, that wouldn't have been an allusion to the fact that it was separated from the two of them. So therefore, she was on one side of the reapers, he was on the other side, to say that although Malchus Beis David is coming out of us, it's ultimately going to be separated in the times of Rechavim and Yeravim. So the Pasuk over there says, V'yitzvot lo koli v'teicha, that he gave her the parched grain and she ate it. And the pasuk continues that she ate it and batisba and she was satiated, which is a reference of wealth, which is a reference to David and Shlomo and Chizkiah, that by all these, it says an element of wealth, that all the kings from all the world would come and bring them karbanis and gifts. So the Gemara says, Amr Belaza, her eating and satiated and leaving over is a reference to what's coming out of her. But toicha that she ate, that's been made David, that's in the times of David that there was wealth. But tisben, she was satiated, that's been made Shlomo, which had an enormous amount of wealth. But toisen, it was left over, there was enough, that's been made Cheskiah, that's a reference to Cheskiah, all these that came out of her. But they could tell me that those that say that it was a different illusion. But toicha that she ate, that's been made David, ube made Shlomo. But tisben, she was satiated, that's been made Cheskiah, that's in the days of Cheskiah. But toisen was left over, that's been made Rebbe, that's in the days of Rebbe. The Amamar, as the master says, that there was such enormous wealth by Rebbe, that Ahurye de Rebbe, that even the stableman of Rebbe, that was the person that was in charge of the horses and the mules of Rebbe, have a Atamishra Malka, he was wealthier than King Shapur of Persia. That is, he had so much fertilizer from just the animals that he was wealthier. So we find if the stableman was that wealthy, definitely Rebbe was that wealthy, and that was the reference of Ataisa. However, Ben Snita Tan of Bryce, we learned, Vatoicha, and she ate, that's a reference by Olam Hazeh in this world. Vatisba, and she was satiated, that's a reference L'Moisa Mashiach, to the times of the days of Mashiach, which is the end of the 6,000 years. Vatoisa, and she left over, that's a reference L'Asa Lavi, to the world to come, to Olam Haba. That's the reference, those were the Ramazim that were given from Bayez Terus to say about what she's going to have in this world and in the next world. Sending Gemara brings a pasuk in Yeshayah that's going to come to something related to what we're speaking about on this daf. Says v'tachas kavoide, and beneath his honor, his glory, yikad yikoid, it was a flame was kindled, kikoid esh, like the flaming of a fire. And this pasuk is a reference to when it was the whole army of Sancheiv was killed up, that he was saying, "Ah, I'm going to kill you. We have so many people," and he was threatening. He was talking bad about Hashem. So it said that his whole army died in one night. And how did it happen? So it says that beneath their glory, that there was a fire that kindled, which was like the fire, like the flame of a fire. So Amar B'yechin, B'yechin says, the tachas mamish, that it was beneath his covet, beneath his glory that was on fire, but not his covet itself. As the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechin Tamei, Rabbi Yechin is going to, according to his opinion, which we mentioned on Amar Al. Rabbi Yechin called lamani mechabdus, Rabbi Yechin called his garments my glory, my honor. And therefore, it was only under the garments, because the garments were not burnt. It was just the bodies that were under the garments which were what were burnt. Rabbi Elazar says, he interprets the pasuk in a different way. V'tachas kavoide, in place of their honor, in place of that, was now ashes, which is tachas kavoide mamish, in the place of where the actual honor was. And that is as follows. Both Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Elazar agree that it was their body of the army of Sacheiv that was burnt, and not the garments. But Rabbi Yechanan understands it because he interprets the pasuk tachas kevoidai like the pasuk of tachas raglab, which means beneath. That is, beneath his honor, which is his garments, as we say that he called his garments his honor, the pasuk is saying that under the garments of the army of Sancheiv, that is what got burnt, that's their body, but their garments didn't get burnt. However, Rabbi Laza understands the pasuk of the word tachas like changing, exchanging. Like it says, Yishalam tachas ashar, that it should pay in place of the ox that it was damaged. That's because Rabbi Elazar does not call the garments an honor. Rather, it's a reference to the person himself. And that's what it means, that actual, the covet itself was burnt. That is, in place, tachas, kavoida, that in place of the body that was originally there, was now ashes. And that because that's what got burned. So therefore, they're both agreeing that it was the garments that were still there, and it was only the bodies that died. However, how they got there depends on if they learned tachas as beneath or in place of. And that's related to the machlekes, if the garment is the covet or if the body itself is the covet. However, there's a third pshat, Reb Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar, tachas kavoy, when it says beneath their honor, was kastrefes ben Aaron, that they got burnt the way the children of Aaron of Nodav Aviu, that the way they died when they went into the Beis HaMikdash improperly, that ma'alahalan strefes neshama v'guf kaim, just like by them, that it was only their soul that got burnt, but their body was still existent. Avkan strefes neshama v'guf kaim, here also it was their soul that got burnt, but their body was still existent. And that's because Reb Shmuel, he understands the word tachas as beneath, the way Reb Yechon understands it. However, he understands the word covet as honor, as Rabbi Elazar does, that it's reference to the body. And therefore, he understands the pasuk like Rabbi Yechanan, that under the covered is what got burned, but not the covered itself. However, the covered was the body. So therefore, if it means beneath the body is what got burned, that's the way the strafes of Bnei Aharon were. And that it was only their soul that got burned, but the body was still existent, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Dalad Mises learns. And therefore he says that it was a soul, but the body and their garments were still around. So therefore we have a three-way machlekes, which in actuality translates into two pshatim, that how the army of Sacher died, either that their garments were still there, but their body was burned, or that their body even was still there, but their soul was burned. Again, that depends on how you learn tachas kavodai. Does tachas mean beneath or in place of? And does kavodai mean the body, or does kavodai mean, like Rabbi Yochanan says, the garments, and that's called man mechabduse, that's my garments, that is my honor.